That medicine, lolly. Alcohol, yeah. The tablet. Okay, before we start, there is this medicine belongs to one of the Kamnata. We don't know who. Anybody lost this? Huh? Anybody lost this? Blue color. I don't know what is this pill. Huh? Aries means what? Is it antihistamine? Nida. Nida, sir? What's that? Antihistamine. Anyway, no, leave it somewhere in front. Okay, anybody who misplaces medication, antihistamine, Aries, the blue color pill, you can collect from Joyce. Okay. Pramasui, the puja? Ready. Light the thing, the candle and the incense. Okay. So it's such a coincidence. It seems today also coincide with Sakyamuni's renunciation day when he was born in India at that time. So we happen to time the date for our second puja to be today, so it will be very beautiful. So you all should rejoice because all Kayamita, together with the common pool, all the yogi, you have partake in this wholesomeness. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, what we will do is we will start off with the offering, our main tray. Where is Brother Song? Oh, Suyan here. No, never mind. This one we all get the committee organizer to do. You start off with this. Yes. You all can stand, We do the puja offering. Sadhu, 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 flower. One only. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Line out. Spread out a bit. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You all can face each other. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Enough. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. You can also rejoice and touch. Touch is enough, huh? Because too many of us. So we have to move a bit faster. Just touch and pass it on. Sadhu, 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 center. Yeah, thank you. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, now we offer the balance of the item on the table. Together we offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can. You all can. Go away. As long as you rejoice, it's good enough. Yeah. So thank you so much. So now what we will do is, we will have a simple puja. We will chant the simple puja. Page 14, our evening chanting. So we will chant dedication of offering. This one we will do the first three in English. Okay, we chant the whole thing in English. Maybe I will start off with the Pali, then we will start the English. We will pay our official salutation. Namo Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Virochana Buddha. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Milofo. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, now we will officially start the evening chanting. Oh, the mic. Where is the mic? Wireless mic. Oh, sorry. Page 14, chanting book.
To the blessed one, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which he expounded so well, and to the blessed one's disciples who have practiced well, to these the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offering our rightful homage. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still have compassion for later generation. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefit and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed one, I render homage to the Buddha, the blessed one.
Bow.
The teaching so completely explained by him, I bow to the Dhamma. The blessed one's disciples who have practiced well, I bow to the Sangha.
Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha.
Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to him, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one. Homage to thee, the blessed one, the worthy one, the fully enlightened one.
Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha,
a good word of the blessed one's disciples has spread as follows. Such indeed is the blessed one, the worthy one, the perfectly enlightened one, endowed with wisdom and virtue, the accomplished one, the knower of the worlds, the incomparable master or guide of those to be trained, teacher of God and man, the enlightened one, the blessed one.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Buddha.
The Buddha, the truly worthy one, endowed with such excellent qualities, whose being is composed of purity, transcendental wisdom and compassion, who has enlightened the wise like the sun awakening the lotus, I bow my head to that peaceful chief of conquerors, the Buddha, who is the safe, secure refuge of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him with bowed head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and guide. The Buddha is sorrow's destroyer, who bestows blessings on me. To the Buddha, I dedicate my body and life, and in devotion I will walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me, there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Buddha and the blessing of this practice, by his power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Buddha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future they may be restrained regarding the Buddha.
Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma.
Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and the now, beyond timeless, beyond thought, inviting investigation, onward leading to the heart and Nibbana, can be understood by the wise each for themselves.
Now let us chant Veda, the next page. Oh, page 17. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Dhamma.
It is excellent because it is well expounded, and it can be divided into path and fruit, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds those who uphold it from falling into delusion. I revere the excellent teaching, that which removes darkness. The Dhamma, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings, as the second object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Dhamma's servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and guide. The Dhamma is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows blessings on me. To the Dhamma, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk this excellent way of truth. For me, there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Dhamma and the blessings of this practice, by his power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Dhamma.
Now let us chant the recollection of the Sangha.
Of good conduct is the order of the disciples of the Blessed One. Of upright conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of wise conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of dutiful conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. This order of the Blessed One's disciple, namely the four pairs of persons, the eight types of individuals, is worthy of offerings, is worthy of hospitality, is worthy of gifts, is worthy of reverential salutation, is an incomparable field of merits to the world.
Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Sangha.
Born of the Dhamma, that Sangha which I practice well, the field of the Sangha, form of eight kinds of noble beings, guided in body and mind by excellent morality and virtue, I revere the assembly of noble beings, perfected in purity, the Sangha, which is the supreme secure refuge of all beings. As the third object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Sangha's servant. The Sangha is my Lord and guide. The Sangha is sorrow's destroyer, and it bestows blessings on me. To the Sangha I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion I will walk the well-practiced way of the Sangha. For me there is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Sangha and the blessings of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Sangha, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in the future there may be restraint regarding the Sangha.
Okay, we will do the closing homage. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhamma namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Okay, thank you. Okay, we will continue. Now our program is from 16 to 19, because today is our 50. This one, 30 minutes of formal sitting and walking or lying down meditation. How much time you have? Oh, exactly. So, oh, you got 30 minutes. Okay, you can do your sitting. Then, just a correction. 7:30 to 9:15, closing ceremony. This one is for the last day on the 19th. Okay? So, 16, 17, 18, we will do our usual Dhamma sharing. And meditation reporting. Or Q&A and meditation reporting, Kam Dhamma discussion. Okay. I tell what you have about near to 25 minutes. Okay, I will ring the bell after 25 minutes. You want to sit now or later? Because you after dinner, somehow you may be too full to sit. Why not we continue our Heart Sutta, then later I will give you some time to sit. We see how it goes. Okay, turn to page 48. 12 Heart Sutta notes. I just read through those that I have shared with you quickly. But this one, the Heart Sutta note compound is more detailed. 1.1 subheading. Apamada or heedfulness. So heedfulness is English word. Apamada is Pali word. They have the same meaning. Means a mind that is ever mindful. Bracket without thought. Within. To cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, following Dhammapada verse 23. It is just like a relaxed inner awareness that is always aware and without thought, to see things as they are, to see reality or the truth within all mental, physical and nature's phenomena. So this definition is very clear. Then applying the 6R technique, this is just to re-elaborate what we have gone through, because there was some question at that time, I think. Then we did a review. While meditating in the formal posture, if one feels any tension or tightness or stress within one's body and mind, then one must just recognize it, the first R. And after that, release it. Then relax into it, the third hour. Relax into whatever mind state that has energy build up. So this one is very useful. You got energy build up, you relax, it will help you. Including any tension or tightness that can be felt via using a radiant smile, which is the fourth hour smile. And a relaxed inner awareness without thought. The moment you are relaxed, what happened? That's why this step is very powerful. The moment you are relaxed, what happened? Craving loses its strength. Yeah, when you relax, there is joy. It cannot think. It cannot stir anymore. So you must always remember to release, like the pain, the numbness, or whatever that distract your mind, pull you away. Don't go and label pain, pain, pain. Understand? You got more pain then. You just acknowledge it and release it. Then relax everything. Wherever got tension, tightness, or relax, feel it soothingly, relax, like our mind sweeping method. And then radiate a radiant smile or a smile. This is how you were. Be able to actually dissipate the craving. So craving loses its strength. And this relaxed and radiant smile step are very important to make your mind feel at ease, light, tranquil and free. This step compared to those noting pain, 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 you know the big difference or not? Pain is an aversion. You will is a mental hindrance. That's why your mind is been hindered by that hindrance. It cannot enter sati or the meditative state of inner awareness and silent awareness. So because of that, you cannot do that. That's why this monk also not bad. He know he has to release it, then relax into it, and then re-smile. He put in three more steps, which is not bad actually. So if you do that, I tell you, you can overcome your meditative pain, numbness, and all those things. Then after that, your mind will feel at ease, light, tranquil, and free. When this happens, then your spiritual faculty will take over. Sati will take over. And then you become very, very different. Then like the chi all flow through, no constriction. Then your so-called pain or numbness, as you relax into it, it will become much more better. The other way is that mindfulness, when it comes, it gives rise to piti. And this mind state will help you to endure and finally overcome those pain and whatever distraction. This training of mind will enable you to decondition your mind from the heedless thinking and grasping to sense experience. This will enable the cultivator to develop a silent, tranquil mind with heedfulness within naturally. We are understanding that originally the true mind is already in a meditative state with clear inner awareness within. So there is no need to do anything but instead just relax and silent. We are letting things be. Then the heedless thinking or grasping, born of delusion, will slow down and stop on its own via wisdom. The mind will then return to its original state of true silent inner awareness. Without the thought, the ever-shining nature, which is the true mind, will then shine forth. This ever-shining nature, which is the essence of mind, is always there. The fifth hour is to return to the object of meditation to train the mind to develop a very stable sati, means we are anapanasati. If this training is still needed, if you feel that your mindfulness is still not stable, you cannot become mindful on its own without any object of meditation, then you have to continue to train. Once the mind is already trained and constantly aware in sati or impassati throughout the day, then this training is no longer required. Means technically, you don't need object of meditation. You are already in sati. The mind is in sati. The sixth hour is to repeat the above training of the first 5 hours. But need to be careful not to do it until it becomes mechanical or repetitive. The last step must be done with understanding, especially for those who are still trapped in thought-based meditation. Beyond the 6 hours is the awareness-based meditation, where the new 4 supports for meditation are. This is what I wrote on the whiteboard. So now it's in your Heart Sutta note, so you don't have to copy down. First is relax. Actually, this one, the first two can apply to help you in your meditation. Especially the first one, even if you do energy field, thought based, if you know how to relax, it will free your energy build up. Then the awareness based meditation is you don't go and do all those thought based method and what they call technique. You just develop mindfulness of your mind, because the method and technique are skillful means to train your mind. So that's why you have to train until you are fully aware, then relax into all mind state, then maintain the awareness. That's why the second support is aware. Then the third one is maintain it if you can, initially during waking moment throughout the day of your daily life. Then later on while you go into your sleep, which I think quite a number of Kayanamitta can do already. But most of them are assisted when they are here. Because here the nature is very different. Then when you listen attentively, you receive a lot of what they call spiritual energy, which will actually activate your nature. Then you will on your own become very, very aware, mindful, and you don't feel sleepy. And sometimes you like whole day don't sleep. A few Kayamita has reported to me, so I rejoice. So relax, aware, maintain for 24 hours if you can. Continuous. The meaning here is you must develop continuous heedfulness throughout the day so that you are not heedless. So that you are ever mindful. That's why, like the Buddha said, ever mindful, constantly meditating. And that is what Appamatta is all about. Then the last one is trust. Trust your nature to do. Don't interfere with your thought. Don't go and direct it. Don't go and verbalize anymore. Don't go and do all those funny things. Just silent and let the true nature do. The other thing you have to understand is, when you can sense that a lot of energy is building up, first thing you have to do is relax, let it return to normal state of awareness, then stay there silent, because one of the lady came and asked me, when she meditate now, I think Nancy, I rejoice. She said now she can feel her heartbeat and all those things. Then she said, this one is like pounding. Then she wants to know about the gateway. I said, you don't worry. I said, you feel it, stay there. Then as you relax, silent, no more thought, be with it, means the awareness and the pounding or whatever heartbeat. It has been pounding all the time, except you are not aware, but now your mindfulness has improved. That's why without stethoscope, you can feel it. Understand or not? That's why I say you just relax and silent. Because at first he asked me where to put the, what they call, awareness. He said, is it at the gateway or what? I said, no, no, no. You just silent your mind and feel your heart area, your chest area. Wherever you can detect any vibration or heartbeat, you just silent your mind and be with it, stay there. Don't try to know. Then this heartbeat initially is very fast, like pounding and all things, because you have not developed the actual sati. That's why the mind is still very gross. It is still the usual old mind with the heartbeat, puha, puha, all the things. Then as you silent more and more, relax more and more, your breathing become more and more quiet until finally no breathing. Then during that time, it will condition your heartbeat to be very, very different. Your heartbeat will start to slow down, slow down, slow down, until finally, like you cannot detect it. Yeah. When you cannot detect it, don't try to do anything. Silent everything and let it be. Then what must you do is, if finally, let's say, you just silent, like I said, the gateway, very likely most of you are activated and open. It needs the condition for it to locate. So if you are silent without thought and you trust, means you don't want to know, you don't want to do anything, chances is you can also detect it. If you are quiet enough, still enough, then the moment you detect it, you will know one. There is a flow of energy going in. During that time, there are some kayamita already detected it. During that time, when it flows in, you don't try to direct or interfere. No? You just let it do whatever it do. Like you are a dead person. You know what is a dead person? Dead person cannot do anything. The doctor do biopsy, post-mortem, cut you, do all sorts of things. No need chloroform, you also don't have consciousness to be aware of what is going on. So, like a dead body, let it do. That's why you will feel everything, you will be aware of what is going on, but you just don't resist, don't react, nothing. But you will know what happened inside there. Like I told you last time, when it go in and open whatever internally, then the byproduct is always gas. During that time, don't worry, you know. You will fart a lot on. You will release a lot of gas, but no smell on. Unless you eat petai lah. You eat petai, I cannot guarantee. You know, I never tried that. I never eat petai. Then when I meditate, very strange, you know. This one, between you and me, my wife will know. Sometimes the gas come out, release. You know how many shots or not? Can be 100 or shots or not. Oh. But no smell on, don't worry. Because it keep on happening, then release. The good sign is when you start to fart a lot, means inside moving. Okay? But don't go and purposely make yourself fart a lot. That's why I was told last time they went for retreat. Brother, what you say is right, you know. They were so rigid, you know. You cannot make any sound in the, what they call, meditation hall. You cough also, everybody look at you. Oh. You snore, worse still, they chase you out. Then they say, well, no. To tell you the truth, sometimes I got gas inside, I dare not let go. You got paise, so you got to quietly pay respect, walk out. look for a place where nobody here, then only you release. Oh, wow, it's a torture. These are nature's things. But if you want to be more sensitive, of course, you try to avoid. Purposely do it in front of people or around people. But if it's a nature thing and you cannot really stop it, don't go and hold it under someone, like your bladder. You cannot hold your bladder until you hurt your bladder. The bladder is for you to like restrain for a while. But you restrain until inside there the pressure build up. I tell you, it's bad for your bladder. You hold your bladder too long and too often, it can cause your bladder to give problem. So all this is up to you. When you understand, you will know what to do. You just be natural. Then since we all understand, you expect all this. So to me, whatever noise you make, to me, if it can still affect me, then I am not a meditator. If I meditate and become more sensitive, cannot tolerate the slightest noise. That's why they go back to their house after the retreat. Some of them still quite hardworking. No? Meditate at home. No? In a quiet special room. No? Then out of the blue, the children play very loud. Wah, be tahan, come out, scold the children. No? Wah, you meditate until you become like that. Then sometimes the worst is your son open the door without knocking. No? Then, Mama! Wow, I tell you, that is a good test. whether you really have the meditation or not. Oh. So all this is understanding. If I can still be affected by all this, then I cannot develop the wisdom. Because meditation is to develop the wisdom to be at peace at all time, under whatever situation. That's why I heard one monk say, which is very good, this monk, Achan Jagaro. The last time before Ajahn Brahm, he was the abbot there. I know him and he's very close to me. He is very good. You know what he said or not in one of the talks? He said, we should meditate until we have this ability. In the midst of disturbance, means like when you are in the city, in the midst of, I think he used the word sound. There can still be silent. Then in the midst of... the second one was what? I cannot remember. The other one is stillness. I forgot the second one already. First one is in the midst of sound, there can be silent. Then in the midst of, I don't know what, I forgot already, there can be stillness. The moment I heard that, it was very good. And I realized this is the monk that has cultivated well. Otherwise, you cannot. In the midst of activity, there can be stillness. Oh, I better write down. This one, I think, not in the Hatsutta. No. The conditions suddenly arise. You know, when you are in the midst of activity, normally when you are in the midst of doing thing, activity, how can your mind have stillness? But you can, I tell you. That's why even when I share with you or what, inside here no movement, I tell you. Oh, inside here no movement. In the midst of activity, there can be, yes, very good. Yeah, that one is the other one. Any sequence, no problem. In the midst of sound or noisy place, sound or noisy place. Places. There can be? Very good. Wow, very good. Very fast you learn. But can you do it? Silence, C-E or D? C, yeah. When you cultivate until you can have this ability, I sadhu you. Means you are very, very fast already, very near already. In the midst of activity, you know, there can be stillness. You know, like now, I sharing with you, I walk around, I do everything. You think here got anything? Inside didn't move at all. Still. Even when I talk to you, I don't have to be like last time. Stay here and aware outside. Where you know what happened. That nature has shined for. It has become part of my nature. That's why I read to you all, I don't need to meditate. I don't need to do anything. Because that is the nature. It has become part of it. And it's always aware. Because after Monday, my collapse, no more of those funny things. Oh, the gross one. Then this new Maya, the supramundane Maya, you won't believe. No? Like no mind inside there. Or no? Like all this movement inside there, like formless one. No? Because I was asking myself, no? How can no mind? No mind how to perceive, how to know. Then later on I checked, I realized there is a mind, but that mind is so fine, you know. And because it is so fine, I cannot feel anything. No? That's why I told you my nature just shine forth. No? Then things that I never see before, I start to see. No? And you, that time, don't panic when you reach that time. But it won't be so fast. When you reach that time. Last time, the mundane maya, the gross maya, very easy to become mindful. No? Really. You can be throughout the day mindful. Then later on with that one, I realize you cannot do it like that mundane mind. Because actually no need to do. The nature is like that. You somehow do for what? Understand? This one is important for Jia. Sadhu to you. Because you got condition, that's why I share. Then during that time, that's why I say, in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. Can be done. Understand? This one, in the midst of sound or noisy place, can you have silence? Silence means what? Don't talk. So, you can, but inside, the chattering, that one is talking. That's why very difficult to have this silence. Unless you have the first one. In the midst of activity also, you can have stillness. This one sure no sound. Oh, you can just walk through. Yeah, I tested it during the early day. I said, how come like that one? Inside, nothing. One, no movement at all. No activity at all. Oh, then just aware. Oh, then that movement of the supramundane maya is so different, so fine. Like no mind inside there. Like Hui Ning, six patria, he was born like that. Without the mundane mind. That's why as an illiterate woodcutter, he hear the diamond star there, he understand, he awakened to the way. Oh, the mind must have no dwelling, count him already. Now I repeat, the mind must have no dwelling. Anything happen? Okay, that one, you can write down if you want to, make a note. Okay, we go to the next one. The opening verse by Master Xuan Hua. Reversing the light to shine within. The Mandarin word is Hui Guang Fan Zhao. Means you reflect. Avalokiteshvara means Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Enlightens all living beings or sentient beings. Thus he is a bodhisattva. His mind is tatsa, unmoving, luru putong. A superior one at peace, with total understanding of the ever-shining, he is host and master. So this particular sentence, I have to explain, otherwise you cannot understand. The first line of the above verse is very important, because most of the time our mind dwells outside to chase after external. Agree or not? Because you always look outside. All the five senses, together with the thought, all about outside thing. You are hardly aware inside. Understand not? The external appearances that created the phenomenal world of ours. That's why you cannot see this, because you are not mindful, you are not aware. You don't know how perception come about. How consciousness make you conscious of things. This is also the reason why the Buddha said under Dhammapada verse N2 that our mind is a forerunner of all things and mind is chief. Everything arises when the mind arises. In order to understand what is going on, we need to return the mind to abide within. That's why you must be aware from inside out. Means every moment of seeing, you are aware of what you see. That's why you won't think. Where you can do only one thing at a time. When you are aware, you cannot think. But when you are lost in thought, you are not aware anymore. The moment you are lost in thought means what? Preoccupied with that thinking, that sense experience, reacting to it, stirring it, commenting, judging everything. That's why you become heedless. That's why when you are aware from within, like I told you all last time, initially no gateway also can return to your heart. Then it will become aware. Then after you do long enough, the awareness is there on its own. Aware, like that. Then I realize, you take care of mind take care of you. You won't become heedless. Then during that time, if I got somebody like me to give me the vibration, open my gateway, I don't need my last teacher. But because my vow, that's why I was lucky. Actually, nothing to do with luck. Nothing to do with luck. That you must have the condition. In order to understand what is going on, we need to return the mind to abide within so that we can be aware of what is going on within our mind. Hence, the importance of reversing the light to shine within. Hui Guang Fan Zhao. Only then can you be aware of your content of consciousness within your mind. That is how your mind are stirred by external and conditioned into clinging, grasping after external created by mind. We are our delusion and mental aggregates of Vedana, Sanya, Sankara and Vijnana. You will start to understand how thoughts and feelings arise in your mind with every moment of sense experience, sense thought experience, and how they condition each other. How your thought with its conditioning condition your feeling, and then how this feeling become craving emotion to condition your subsequent wrong thought or thinking. All this, if you are not careful or heedful, if you do not develop the wisdom or unisop manasikara, which is the wise attention at the moment of sense experience to enable you to see things as they are, clinging and grasping will continue to arise. And dukkha or suffering will be the result. So this is for you to understand. The next verse says, with total understanding, the ever shining, he is the host and the master. Who can understand this one? Who can understand? Try to answer. If you can contemplate it, it will be good. Who is the host? Who is the master? Very good. The true mind. Because the true mind is always there, understand? You remember the Zen analogy? He said, like a hotel with six rooms. He said, the innkeeper, he's always there. But the six room, if got guests, means guests coming to stay. So six room, the guests come, they won't stay long there. They come and go. Most of them is half day, stay the night. But your sense data, the six sense door, sometimes they don't even stay for one split second. No, no. Come and go. We are there, the guests of the mind, understand? No? The guests come temporarily, then go. And you deludedly grasp at the guests and get yourself into trouble. That's why the innkeeper is always the host. Managing the inn or hotel. So if you manage, means the awareness, the true mind is aware. So any guest come in, he will know. Then when you have wisdom, any of these guests try to be funny, wants to break the law or do funny thing, you will be aware, understand? You will understand. Similarly, meditation is like that. So here, the host is synonymous to the owner of the innkeeper. The ever-shining is your Buddha nature within, your true nature. Imagine oneself as a hotel with six rooms. The six sense bases are like your six rooms, and the sense data and external form are like your guests of the mind. For example, the guests of the seeing consciousness are color, shape, and form. Vibrations like sound, music, noise, these are for your hearing, are the guests of your hearing consciousness. These guests of the mind are not like human beings because they cannot talk or complain. So it is a lot easier to manage this hotel if one is not deluded. The host is always there to receive the guests. The guests of the mind, they come and go, hence they are impermanent. As guests, they are here to stay for a while only. And most of the time, they stay for a split second only, etc. But because of your delusion, you cling on to it, cling on to them as memory. That's how you accumulate them and give them meaning so that they can stay for a longer period of time. Actually, they are not there anymore, not in the room anymore. But your memory say, oh, that guest, he did this to me. You put into your brain, your memory. That's why you have this problem, your phobia, your unhappy moments, whatever good and bad experience, and most of it are bad experience that you have phobia or you want to really avoid. So that's why that one keep on coming to haunt you. So that memory, the moment there is condition, it will trigger off and gives them meaning so that they can stay for longer period in your mind, in your brain, thereby causing you all the misery and suffering, at times leading to depression. That's why I like a tape recorder, keep on playing. If the mundane mind can reverse the light and shine within, then it can stay aware inside and see clearly how peaceful he is when he just allow them to come and go. Correct or not? Huh? You got no problem with that? In overseas, they got auto newspaper dispenser. No? You take the newspaper, up to you to put money on. You know that? So you got no headache on. But Malaysia, you do that, I tell you. You have to subsidize a lot. Because attitude different. That's why when you can be aware and not be disturbed by them, then you will come to realize and see clearly how peaceful your nature is when it just allow them to come and go. We are perceiving them with wholesomeness. See? You don't perceive them in negativity and wisdom or right view. And also how the mundane mind suffer and becomes miserable when he perceives them with negativity via his own wrong view and self-delusion to grasp and cling onto them via wanting things his way. This will enable him, means the nature, to develop the wisdom to understand that if he, the host, does not attach, cling and react, then he is always peaceful and is not disturbed by the guests of the mind, then life is wonderful and meaningful. And the guests of the mind can also be quite fun at times. Correct or not? Huh? Because you can be with the moment to experience life, the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Understand or not? Well, you don't reject them. That's why after that I see date tree, wow, a lot of joy. Then I see all the whatever filthy thing, because there is no discrimination, because this is nature. And you can appreciate nature, where every of these is a different perception. They are like new. That's why you won't take things for granted. You won't, I know already. Then you don't see. Then sometimes you just silent, pure awareness without a center, to be with the whole of the nature, to be with the oneness. It's so beautiful to just have this ability. But human beings who didn't develop this ability or this type of meditation, they cannot understand because they just can't comprehend. They are not in that state or level. So it's just like the rich people, the billionaire tell you, oh, I can take private jet, fly here, fly there, do this, do that. You just imagine, I got money, I also can. But in the meantime, you only tia and because you have not developed the capability, that's why you cannot experience. Then you only hear about it. Then you know what I say. Don't know true or not one. That guy tried to break that, got like that, like that, like that. Because you never experience. There is a lot more good thing they didn't want to tell you. So, meditation, you look at it from that point of view, is the same. When you have not reached that understanding, you cannot understand what people say. Then you use your thought. So when you use your thought to try to understand that which is beyond thought, very difficult. So for your own good, don't try to know. Just do. Then you will progress. Okay? Have faith. Okay, important note. Host always there to stay, but guests, they come and go. So get this understood. So you are not deluded by it anymore. You will not perceive it negative anymore. Then you can be at peace. Understand that. Okay? Because you hold the key to your own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy depends entirely on your choice. So why are you not happy? If you choose to be happy, then no one can make you unhappy. Unless you yourself allow yourself to be unhappy via your own delusion. Okay? Then the next one is, this one I explained before, we just read through. Thought is like money, and money is neither good or evil, because good and evil depend on the user of money. If the user of money or thought is evil, then money or thought will be evil. If user of thought has wisdom, then thought become right thought and wholesome thought. So the user of thought is the most important. Hence, do strive on with heedfulness to develop the right view, the wisdom more and more. Then you know how to use thought. That's why Noble Eightfold Path talk about what? Right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. The teaching is so clear. That's not. If the user of thought is deluded without right view, without wisdom, it cannot arise the right thought. The whole Noble Eightfold Path will fall apart. So this one is for your understanding. Then meditation. Brother explained that the three turning of the Four Noble Truths in Pali under the Theravada tradition is very accurate. Mahayana explanation compared to Theravada differs a bit. The problem with most cultivators is they cling on to the first turning and never get to the nitty-gritty of the second turning while all the hard work is there. So you have to refer to the email compilation. Number 4, page 9. I think Sui An has sent out the soft copy. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. It was compiled in the year 2007. But those correspondents were in the year 2005. Okay, we finished 12. We are now at 13. The most important one is second turning, I tell you. Because most people, I realize, they don't have their path. So first turning cannot awaken you. Cannot give you much understanding. But when you go into the second turning, which is the real hard work, nitty-gritty of the whole practice, then it will prepare you to receive truth. Sometimes it can awaken you too. So this second turning is very much. That's why my teacher, Ajayantra, advised me. We choose aware until very, very, very clear. All of the Dhamma or proclamation of Lord Buddha. Okay, page 13. This one we can skip. Yeah? Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, you go and read yourself. Dhammapada verse 1, 2, yeah? You read yourself. Then question 1. Why is the teaching of Dhamma as taught by the Buddha during his time differ as it gets passed down over the years? This one I answer already, right? Because the Dhamma was passed down, we are using words and speeches which are verbal in nature. And as we all know, words are subject to various types of interpretation, hence the deviation. For example, when I ask about what is the First Noble Truth, as taught by the Buddha, the standard answer is, what is it? Life is suffering. And they still think they are very, very smart. And this is very dangerous because the Buddha never said that. The Buddha instead proclaimed that there is a First Noble Truth that explains clearly what dukkha is. And according to the Lord Buddha, there are 8 conditions in life, or the realities of life and existence, that can give rise to suffering when one confronts them without wisdom. And that is the real First Noble Truth. They are the realities of birth, old age, sickness and death. When you are with people whom you don't like, when there is separation from your loved one and your prized possession, things that we hold on to dearly, when you cannot get what you want, or when things don't go your way, etc. No matter who you are and how wealthy and powerful you are, if you live long enough, you will confront all this reality of life and existence. The Buddha then went on to proclaim that there is a cause behind all suffering, and the cause is always craving, born of delusion. And this is the Second Noble Truth. Then under the Third Noble Truth, the Buddha said, suffering need not be, because there is a Noble Truth that explains clearly the possibility of enlightenment in the here and the now, or the cessation of all suffering, Nibbana, can be realized. Then finally, the Buddha taught the Fourth Noble Truth, which is the meditation taught by the Buddha, namely the Noble Eightfold Path. And if one cultivates this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Important definition. This one is quite good. 自在 means what? 自 is me. 在 is in the moment. That's why meaning at ease. Mandarin word actually very well coined up. False thinking means what? Heedless thinking. We got from the Mandarin word 妄想. One is not right here, or aware within, means lost in thought, heedless. First pronunciation is jiao, or jue, jiao or jue. Yeah, jue means enlightenment. Jiao means what? Stir up trouble. Your mind do a lot. Your mundane mind without the right view and understanding. Jiao. How to pronounce? Jiao, jiao. Jiao or jiao? Jiao. Jiao is leg. Never mind, as long as you understand. We all banana one cannot understand. Okay, train your mind to be heedful. 2 steps are involved. Via mind sweeping method plus metta, or you can combine the 6R plus your object of meditation. That's how you train. Then finally, silence your mind to be heedful within. We are letting go of all the object of meditation. That is, mind is constantly meditative and ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. You can only let go of the object of meditation when your spiritual faculties are there. Always remember. Then when you can silence your mind until you have a natural ability to be peaceful, at ease, silent. Means paucity has arisen. The mind sweeping method is very good and useful. Skillful means to train the mind to be at the location you want it to be. And it also trains you to feel and not to think. Then you continue to relax whatever tension, tightness and stress within the location you feel, like your forehead, etc. To enable you to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness, to realize the tranquility, peace, quietness, and calmness within when there is no thinking. And this one is born of a free mind, not in concentration or no. not in absorption, one pointedness and all those things. Then your mind will be peaceful, at ease, and without thought. Hence, deconditioning it from your habitual heedless thinking and worrying, etc. Okay, good. We cover quite a lot, chapter 14. Oh, chapter 14 is good. Within the conditioned world of life and existence, everything is conditioned arising, or they arise due to causal phenomena following the five universal nature's law or order, pancha niyamas. Namely, uttu niyama, bija niyama, kama niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Hence, they exhibit the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. The first two nature's law are scientific law, nature's physical law or uttu niyama, and nature's biological order or bija niyama. And the next three are spiritual law, called kama niyama, law of karma, citta niyama, law of mind, and dhamma niyama, law of dhamma or truth as taught by the Buddha. Understanding this five universal order or life or law implies having right view with regards to life and existence. And this right view will enable one to have great understanding and wisdom of our existential world. Understanding citta niyama will also enable one to understand how our mind functions following dependent origination or 12 link, as taught by the Buddha, Paticca Samuppada. The children of today are mostly second generation kids. And nowadays, parents, they are usually overprotective of their second-generation children. And they also tend to over-pamper them in the name of loving them. Hence, giving rise to all the related social problems, now very common. Yeah. This is especially common in family, where the family members do not have close relationship with each other. They usually lack harmony, and the family members seldom have the opportunity or line of communication to talk and discuss with one another openly, frankly, and sincerely to resolve their life problem or misunderstanding, like relationship problem, health problem, career problem, and financial problem, etc. Do learn to play your role as responsible and good parent via cultivating the understanding of the Buddha Dhamma or great wisdom as taught by Lord Buddha. Then share them with your children to guide them through life. Your duty or responsibility as parents are to provide for their basic needs like food, shelter, clothing, and education, etc. when they are young, and not to pamper them or be too protective of them in the name of love. Advise them accordingly and then allow them to make their own decision in life, because it is their life, and let them be responsible for their own life decision, and never force them or try to control them in any way that will cause them to dislike you or refuse to talk to you or discuss the matter with you anymore. This is also partly due to both of the what they call loved one don't have Dhamma, understand not? But if you have Dhamma, you will understand why you have to do your duty and just advise. Because you don't want to create karma. Understand not? If you pressure them, force them to do the thing that they don't like to do. Because you always say, parent, good for you. Don't go out and play. Don't gamble. Don't smoke. Don't drink. No nightlife. You young people, no nightlife. The worst is what? No. Ban the internet. Then withdraw the handphone. Oh, I tell you, you will get hell after that. They will hate you like anything. Then you think you very good parent. Because I'm very serious about their future. I really want to make sure they don't go the wrong way. You think you got a lot of what they call understanding. You creating your own karma, your own hell later on. You will have parents who do all this to you later on. Then you complain. How can my parent be like that? Last time you did to your children, you never think of it. Then the worst is what? children want to get married, no? Then because another race, another religion, no? Kayan meet up with me for quite a while. They call me and write email to me. Brought to how? Oh, my husband jumped already. Oh. Then I ask very simple question. Who is getting married? You are getting married or your children? But they are my children. Oh. Oh. Finally, your duty is explained to them. Marriage is a very serious decision, understand? It binds you. If you don't make a correct decision, you are going to create your own hell after that. So as long as you advise, then you say, your life, you make your own decision. Then don't blame parents that we have not advised you. Understand? Then be responsible for what your decision is. Then they will appreciate what you have done for them. Then any problem, they will come and discuss with you. But you don't force them anymore. Understand? So this is what, as parents, you should understand. You reflect back when you're young, your parents restrict you to do all those things. What you do? You do behind their back. Understand? And it becomes worse than that. When your parents dare not do in front of you, they lie to you. Then when you are not around, they do behind your back and become so wild also you don't know. So a lot of people who don't have the Dhamma, they don't know how to actually resolve all this. They call it generation gap. You are, like you don't speak the same lingo. If you understand, not so bad. Like my children, they say, "Oh, daddy, you're not bad." We all internet age. You also can understand, can cope. Because I am in the engineering field, then I got my spiritual understanding. That's why I can communicate with them. I got no problem with them. I understand them. And they are very, very happy because there is a lot of freedom in them. And they know that I never interfere with their life. Even choosing the course to study, I never said, you must study engineering, better for you. No. I said, you find out what you want because it involves your entire future, your career. So you make sure this is what you want. Then I say, what course you want to understand? I will take you to people who are in that profession. Understand? And they appreciate so much. Then after that, they get to do what they want. I just tell them my duty is to provide for you. Then what I have experienced when I'm young, because my dad brought me up, he got no education. And he sacrificed so much for us, and we got a lot of gratitude. But I saw how my dad actually plan for us. He make sure we have a citizenship. He make sure we have education. These two most important in life. And I really grateful that he have this understanding. He used to tell us, although 9 children, study, that is your duty. Don't worry about money. Money, Papa look for it. Oh. Then he make sure our citizenship all in order, I see. Otherwise I cannot go uni and study engineering. Where I got one classmate, Indian classmate, Form 6 result very good, rejected from the university. He can study medicine because read IC. So I pass on this experience to my kid. I say, because of that, I appreciate. But I'm a first generation kid. I went through life, I understand. I wasted 10 to 15 years building up my financial freedom to own a house, to own a car, and to provide for the family. I don't want you to have this same dilemma, I said. If you don't mind, the house is already there. Then if you don't go overseas, the car is already also there. Then if you are not ambitious, you can do what you like to do. Understand or not? You don't have to look for a job. You want to study, pursue academic or whatever interest, go ahead. That's why they were so happy. Then any problem, even how involving like my daughter one or what, relationship or what, she will come and discuss with me one. She will talk to me one day. Then I will advise them. I said, my duty is to advise you. If I were you in the same situation, I could have decided to do it this way. because I have to resolve it amicably. Don't hurt people. Understand or not? Use Noble Eightfold Path. Then I say you don't have to follow what I do. This is my understanding. You develop your own understanding. Then you find out what is it that you want. Then decide and be responsible for whatever decision you have made. That's why they are very happy and they have a lot of gratitude. Yeah. Then I think 2 years ago, my daughter wrote me a birthday message. Every birthday they are very beautiful. I forgot what is written there. I read to you or some of you. A small slip of paper. Because of you. Your daughter, your children write to you like that. How you feel? He said, Daddy, thank you so much. Life is beautiful because of you. So when you have the understanding of Dhamma, you do your duty, your children will understand and love you so much. Because he realized that even both my kids, the son and my daughter, do you know what they told me? Even while in school and uni, he come back and say, Daddy, our family different, we don't have problem. Wow, the classmate got a lot of problem. There was one, the father chased him out of the house. Come and stay with my son. Then the father found out. Then he dared to make phone call and ask for me. Then I listened. I said, may I know who is it? He said, he's so-and-so, the father of that classmate of my son. Oh, your son was here last night. He said, I know. Why did you let him come to your house? He said, oh, I say I never let him come to my house. Then he said, tell your son not to influence him and all those things. And ask him to come home. Then I went upstairs and checked with my son. How come got this doubting? Because my son told me his friend wanted to stay over. I said, no problem, come. But make sure you get permission from your parent. Then after that, only the classmate come down and apologize to me. He said, uncle, sorry, my father chased me out of the house yesterday. Oh, then I say, how come he still asked you to go home? He chased you out. Then finally I say, I explained to that classmate, no matter what happened, he's still your dad. You have to be patient. When he is in charge, provide for you, you have to toe the line. Not until when you are able to be independent. Then that is the time for you to call your shot. So, you know what happened to this son? You won't believe. That's like karma. Like that. He is my son's best friend. The father got so angry at him because he every time, but the father was also very rigid. If he tell you not to go out late, you go out late, he will lock the door. Then after that, you come in, you knock the door or ding dong, he really whack the son. Then after that, you know what happened? He chased the son out. Then he reminded the son, I have recorded each and every cent you use for your education. And this is your debt to me. You have to pay me back when you graduate. Wow, the son be tahan. Got such father. Then later on, you know what happened? He became very successful. He, because of what the father did to him, maybe blessing in this guy, he become like very determined to study. Then he graduated as a, I don't know whether financial guy or what. I think he studied arts. Financial, I think accountancy, I don't know what, accounting. Then he was so smart, he applied, even while studying, he don't want to depend on the father. He became an ambassador of a cigarette company. Then the company gave him car, gave him clothing allowance, smoking allowance, then monthly pay. So then when he graduated, he applied for job. He said, I already got job experience. My basic pay already 5,000-6,000 all in. Then the bank really pay him 6,000-7,000 to start a new graduate starting pay. Then after that, because he knew must go into treasury department. I don't know who teach him. He went into treasury department. They pay him 12-month, 18-month, and 24-month bonus. And the salary, he get promoted because he did very well, very aggressive. Then he applied to one of the U.S. investment bank. I think Goldman Sachs. I don't know whether Goldman Sachs or the other one. He was given the post, no? Well, he add in all his bonus and say his present pay is so much, you know? You want to hire me, you pay this amount. And that company really pay him, no? He went to Singapore to work, no? That's why my son that time tell me, "Wow, daddy, how to cash out with him?" I say, "You don't worry." You know his pay was how much, you know, in Singapore. And the wife also same line, you know, we are colleague. They pay him, I think, 1 month, nearly about 30,000-40,000 Sing. Oh. Then, after 3-4 years of working, he bought a condo, you know, 2 million Sing. Then never mind, drive a Ferrari, new, no? Wow, drove back to PJ, my son saw, tried. That's why I bought him the SLK, second-hand one, 79,000. But it was a very good car. Yeah, convertible. Very good car. And he was so happy. He said, "Daddy, good. Cheap and good." So when he come, my son showed him the SLK. Then he said, "Wow, powerful," I say, "but your Ferrari more powerful." And you know what happened to the father or not? The father was so amazed. Oh. After that, become very friendly to him. and halfway through, we are the son. One shot pay back everything. Oh. He said, "Tell me how much I owe you." After that, he become so successful. The father was so paise, I tell you. That's why your karma is very important, how you determine you are. So these are real stories, you know. It's not a fiction or I tell you story. No, really happened. My wife can testify. And you can have such karma, you know. That's why sometimes your father too strict on you. If you determine a blessing in this guy. That's why don't perceive it in negativity, you know. If he had perceived it in negativity, he would hate his father. You know. But luckily, he stayed overnight that night. You know. I told him, "You remember, whatever it is, he is your father. He provides for you, he gives you life. He, when young, he cares for you. So you have to understand, he is your father." Well, that changed him. That really changed him. Then he liked to talk to me, you know, after that. That night, they talked to me almost until 3-4 a.m. So these are the things that actually can be beneficial to people when you explain to them. So I hope it benefit you. So anybody got problem with your children? Got a? Wow. A lot of people not hit. Anyway, you already know what to do. That's why I put here, the children of today are mostly second generation kids and all those things. And nowadays, parents, they are usually overprotective. These are all gone over already. So do learn to play your role as responsible and good parent via cultivating the understanding of the Buddha Dharma or great wisdom as taught by the Buddha. Then share them with your children and guide them through life. Oh, these are all done. Oh, good. So next one. There is a big difference between emotional love, conditioned love, and metta, which is universal love. An example of emotional love is the usual love-hate relationship of lay people. Correct or not? When young, attracted, I love you. When quarrel that time, different, love fly out the window. Then anger, hatred, jealousy come in. This is not love, understand or not? Love that can become otherwise is not love. One moment they will love each other when things goes their way, and the next moment, this so-called emotional love can turn into hatred, envy, and jealousy. Understand or not? Because of what? Delusion, selfishness. Then there is the other relationship between parent and children, brother and sister, daughter-in-law and mother-in-law, good friend, etc., expressed as conditioned love that only exists because of relationship bond. Whereas universal love or metta is love without any opposite. You know what is conditioned love or not? Because my children, I love. And so I can sacrifice, I can even do whatever. But if it's not your loved one, how? Like I say, neighbor accident, sui, lao. But your own car, kena, you curse your wife or anything. The mind that has metta is always peaceful and happy without any negativity because it's universal. That is really metta. It is born of wisdom that enables one to accept the reality of the moment and always be at peace with the way things are. And one's heart is always full of love. There is only love. Understand? Love doesn't mean you fall in love. Please. Love means that love, that understand, because it's incapable of negativity. That's why I go walk around during the early day when I cultivate. I love nature. No? I look at the Tao, a gratitude towards the Tao that supported, created the footpath for me to walk. Then the grass at the side. Then even the cow shit or whatever, I look at it. I say, this is beautiful. This is nature. Then I send loving kindness to the grass, to the tree, to the plant, to the whole of the environment. May you all to be well, happy and peaceful. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy. And this is how you train your mind to develop the love. When you are incapable of negativity, means you have genuine love, universal love. Love that has no opposite of anger, hatred, or jealousy and envy. So this is what cultivation is all about, when you understand. You no longer have wrong view, wrong thought. You will perceive everything with wholesomeness. And you just radiate kindness, goodness, love. That's why you have virtue, you have wisdom, you have understanding. You are different. Your nature is different. That's why that form and mind become beautiful. Next one is very good. Samadhi, a mind that is collected, unwavering and unmoving, with total understanding of the ever-shining, or the Buddha nature, host and master. This one we have gone through, meaning fully in charge. Mind is at peace, meaning mind that is heedful, silent and unstirred. Then Dhamma saying by Master Poyen Zhang Lao, the Wu Ping Jing Se, late abbot, this is the disciple of Xu Yun also, same contemporary as Master Xuan Hua. He lived until almost 100 years old. So Miss Lee that time read to me what the Poyen Zhang Lao wrote, means the master wrote. So at first she couldn't quite understand yet. She may understand a bit but not the deep meaning. Then I saw how wise he was. Now I read to you, you will know. The first one is Xing Jing, still mind or silent mind. See, all these people know. Then after that, the next one is the best. Wu Nian, Shi Zhen Nian. Oh, sorry, Zhen Xing. sorry, Zhen Xing. Mandarin no good. Wu Nian, Shi Zhen Xing. No thought is true mind. Agree or not? Now you understand why no thought is true mind. Last time I say meditation is about silencing your mind. This monk knows when you got no thought, Wu Nian Shi Zhen Xing, that is your true mind when it doesn't cloud you, when there is nothing to actually obstruct, cloud, or stir, or make you heedless. That is the true mind. Then next one, is lucky best. Dong Nian Qi Wu Ming. Qi Wu Ming ? Oh, okay. Stirring of the thought is delusion. Understand not? You understand not? How did your mind stir? Means you want things your way. Understand not? You cannot come to terms with the reality. You cannot accept the reality. See? So beautiful. And this is real Dhamma. Understand not? Then when you understand this, you still dare to stir your mind or not? But you habitual tendency so strong, betahan. How can you not stir? These people make me like that. When you have the Dhamma, you become different. Very precise. That's it. Straight or direct pointing to the cultivation. If you understand this, you rejoice by anything. That's why I say all these are for enlightened being, not for normal being. That's why all the Mahayana Sutta, if you are not awakened, you read, you cannot understand one. Unless there are people who understand, explain to you, then you can slowly grasp it. Okay, next one is, that is understanding, meaning wisdom. Outflow means defilement, evil roots, delusion. Eight worldly condition, you read yourself, we have done it. Then meditation. Deeper state of meditation are needed to allow the stillness and cessation to develop and stabilize via wisdom. The two main purposes of meditation are to stabilize the silent and tranquil, heedful mind via a combination of relaxation, clear awareness, wisdom, and understanding. This is the first purpose. The second one is to use this silent mind or still, tranquil mind to investigate clearly into all the dhammas and phenomena, both internally and externally within life, to realize the wisdom and the enlightenment needed to free the mind. So this is also very important. That's why Dhamma investigation. Bharati also shared with us his own cultivation and how he came out into the private sector to test himself. This one I already told you all. For detail, please listen to the 14 Heart Sutta recording. You want to know more story, you can listen. Next page. According to the Buddha, mind is the forerunner of all things, and mind makes ade. Hence, through mental consciousness, we can perceive the phenomenal world of consciousness, all of the physical, mental, and nature's phenomena within life and existence. Then you must understand the definition of perception. Phenomena. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. Then contemplative wisdom can arise when you're silent, when you silence your mind to reflect, contemplate, and inquire into the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. See, second turning, you also need to silence your mind so that it's creative. Then only the reflection, contemplation, and inquiry can be effective. Be aware and mindful of all physical, mental, and nature's phenomena within your daily life to see clearly their moments of arising, its sustenance and passing away of all phenomena, and to realize the penetrative wisdom born of bhavana or cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. And now I share with you one of the important pointer that my second last master taught me. He used this word now. Truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? Then that one directly hit me. Then I determined to see. There is no craving, but I determined to see. I already have awareness. Then the funny thing is, he said another thing. To really see, you listen. This one very important. I hope I got explain it. To really see, he told me just this one. You have to be with the moment when the phenomena arise. Means, at the moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing away, your silent mind with the moment to see all this very clearly. Each and every phenomena. Then after that, I just develop it. Then I drive my car, everything. Then after that, the moment she moved her hand when I went to the house, I awakened to the three characters. Then after that, I come out, I drive home. Everywhere, every moment, every instant, the three characters. My mind was completely silent. Then all the phenomena were real, the moment of its arising, sustaining, and passing. Even the piece of paper or dry leaf on the road, you can see it. No sound on. That's why all the then I look at the tree, the phenomena all are there. Then I remember this song. Now you got some entertainment. The Chinese song. You heard of this song? Bu de liao. He said, "Feng chui su zi yao." Feng chui su zi yao. of course, they got a dung, 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 dung. Yang Guang Zhao Guo Su Sang. Beautiful or not? Oh, dung, 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 dung. Then, after that, those who don't understand Mandarin, I explain a bit. He said, the wind blow, the tree move, su zi yao, branches move. Then the sunlight shine through the branches and the tree. Then he said, after that, ni iti kita tan de namo hao, namo hao. Means somebody was playing guitar under the tree. Must be the boyfriend, the composer. Then what already? I forgot what already. But the last one is the best, though. Pu te liao, wo yi jian ni jiu ai sang liao. Like that also can. How many of you heard this? So that song remind me, when I was having the mindfulness, I recall that song. I say, oh, this Mandarin song, the composer, not bad. Because the phenomenal world was so clear to me, Feng Chui Su Zi Yao. Then Yang Guang Zhao Guo Su Sang. Sing again. I cannot remember the in between one. Maybe continue, you all have. Feng Chui Su Zi Yao. Yang Guang Zhao Guo Su Sang, Ni Di Ki Da Tan De Zhe Mo Hao, Zhe Mo Hao. Ni Di Xiao Yong A. Don't know what after that. Then, Pu De Liao. After that, you know what it is. She don't know how to sing. Oh, PG know how to sing, banana cannot. No, that song I already know. I already know that song. That one different condition, meant to be on that one. I always say cable very thick, very strong. Cannot, don't know why, cannot break away on. I say, I don't know what type of cable you have from the past. Meant to be. Very good. That's why. That's why it's not only this life. Many, many lives. So there are conditions. Okay, we go on. Otherwise, we won't finish. With the silent mind in pure awareness, one can be aware of all vibration and phenomena within one's form and mind. One will be able to perceive deeper into one's mind's consciousness. All phenomena can be perceived via the silent mind, and it can also witness how they come and go, arise and pass away, their birth and death. Hence, realizing their impermanent and empty or non-self nature. You will see them everywhere. Then I discovered that time I contemplate, I realize all this. From your bodily vibration to your heartbeat, your pulse, your feeling, your thought activity, your perception and consciousness, physical, mental, and nature's phenomena, etc. You only have to silence your mind. Remember the essential Dharma talk that I delivered at Nancy and Sia's house? The transcript, you can read. I teach you how to do it. Awareness, mindfulness in daily life. This is exactly how I did it that time. You only need to have a silent mind. You only need to silence your mind to see them as they are. Then it's like a flow, when you perceive via your mundane or thinking mind. What you perceive via your mundane or thinking mind is not a real condition, because they arise via thought, which is respond to memory. The reality before knowing is very different. That's why when you see the flow of nature, your physical flow, mental flow, nature's flow, the mind, the awareness and the phenomena as one. Everything is just like that throughout the day. So beautiful. The mind is so still, so calm, so fully aware, and the Dhamma keep on arising. Then there is so much joy. The characteristic is everywhere. That's why after that I say, no wonder people cannot see. Because for those who see, they always see. For those who don't see, they never see. So this one is very beautiful. Then I went on. Human beings have the tendency to react to sense experience because of ignorance. To solve human beings' problem or suffering, one needs the Dhamma. This one very important. Life without Dhamma is not easy to cope. Agree or not? Without the Dhamma, there will be delusion and ignorance with regards to understanding who you are and what you are. Without self-knowledge, one will grasp and cling onto the five energy of form and mind, hence conditioning one's suffering or dukkha. Samsara or wheel of life within existence can also take the form of man and nature must harmonize. And there are the five universal law or order that governs nature. The five law, two of them scientific we've gone through, and the three spiritual law. Law of mind or citta, and finally the law of Dhamma. When you have the right view or the right understanding with regards to these five universal order, which are like the secret of life, then you will know how to live life. When you know how to live life, you will know how to experience all of the wonders and beauties of life. Then life will become very meaningful and beautiful. That is, true emptiness is wonderful existence. So now you understand, all these are possible within reach and so easy. Why do you lament, worry, create all the suffering through your wrong view, through your reaction of mind stirring? Why do you still cannot see this and choose to be heedless? It's such an easy choice, isn't it? The moment you are heedful, you are already destined for enlightenment. And yet you don't want to do it. No? You somehow go and put attention on the sutta, the what people tell you. Just this simple thing. All this basic, you understand, you just do. Don't try to know. Don't ask questions. Later on, you got a lot of very good questions. Like Brother Chia, after he become different, all the questions very relevant on can benefit him and you all. Because later on, some of you all will have to understand all this. You will go through. He is different because by now, he actually did the energy way, the consciousness. That's why it's not wasted one. And the Buddha was not wrong. If Alara and Udaka still alive, they would have become enlightened very fast. Provided they want to listen to him. And give it an open mind to try. So this one, I think we move on. Understanding the three right view regarding the law of karma, Four Noble Truths, and law of dependent origination are very important because it can transform your understanding of the Dhamma to enable you to live the noble life. Thought is limited and egoic, hence it cannot free you. True mind is only pure awareness without thought. As such, it can see things as they are without any conditioning. One will come to understand clearly that in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. That is before the knowing and before the delusion of sakayadity carries through to condition you to grasp and cling onto what you see. Your craving or reaction or reactive mental intention is due to your habitual tendency born of wrong view. Because you become habit already. That's why you hear something, you react already. People step on your toe or your tail, you spring up already. That's why they say you're very predictable. Press this button, you will respond this way. Press that button, you respond that way. Some people say, you want to make him miserable, very easy. You just mention about his girlfriend. Because they know your weakness, understand? Understanding thought and consciousness. This one is very good. Once we input the content of consciousness into our awareness, then consciousness becomes the thought, like I explained that day. Hence, thought equals pure consciousness plus its content. That's why your whole of the awareness shrink into a thought, because you focus, you perceive. Initially, before the knowing or the rising of thought, there is just spacious awareness. Listen, spacious awareness. The moment you focus on something, you input the content of consciousness, then consciousness becomes restricted or limited and become a thought. Take, for example, seeing. Initially, in the seeing, there's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. But the moment you are preoccupied with what you see, and without wisdom or the unisop manasikara at the moment of sense experience, then the egoic mind, born of self-delusion with regards to the atta or the self, has already arisen, causing you to grasp and cling onto what you see. Then your habitual tendency of like and dislike, of pleasant and unpleasant, will arise to condition your mental hindrance to arise. As form is a product of thought, hence thought cannot see form. It's all in the note. But thought has got higher intelligence than form. Likewise, since thought is the product of awareness, hence awareness can see thought or be aware of thought. But thought cannot be aware of awareness or see awareness, because awareness has got higher intelligence than thought, which is limited and egoic. So this is to give you more understanding. Yeah? Then are the feelings, perceptions, sankhara and vinyanang that arise in you really what you are? So now through Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, you know they are not you. Eh? Very clear already there. If feeling and perception, etc. are you, then when they arise and pass away, how come you didn't die? This was my own contemplative understanding. So who are you? What are you? Then I always want to ask this question, because I also contemplated on it. Then finally I realized the answer. If the five aggregates of form and mind are not you, then why did they arise in you? Go and find out the answer. Then who are you? What are you? Then the three types of wisdom. Profound prajna, wonderful wisdom of those who cultivate the bodhisattva way to become sammasambuddha. That's why this is profound prajna. Superficial prajna, limited to the understanding of the Four Noble Truths, and the 12 link of dependent origination. The 12 link of condition, causation as thought at the Theravada level. Then form dhamma, perceptible dhamma at the form level. First of the five aggregates of form and mind. Then mind dhamma, non-perceptible dhamma, the remaining four aggregates of mind, namely feeling, perception, sankhara and consciousness. So this one is for your info. Okay. Need awareness or mindfulness to see the mind dhamma. If one cannot see form dhamma, then it's very difficult for them to see mind dhamma, which are much more subtle and much less perceptible. Cultivator of superficial prajna can end the birth and death of the limited segment body and mind, but they are unable to transcend birth and death of fluctuation or the thought. They can be enlightened because they don't have ignorance. So at the moment of death, there is no more rebirth consciousness, but their mundane mind is still there when they are still in the midst of living life. So you understand the Mahayana way of describing all this or not? Maybe for those who are new, I will explain this again. What was it that I want to share with you? Thank you. You see, arahant. When you become arahant, means what? No more ignorant. No more ignorant. Means what? Means no rebirth consciousness. Means no more rebirth. So what happened? The birth and death of the segmented body, no more. means the form of mind, huh? Segmented. Well, form of mind. Form and mind. No more. We are no more rebirth. Understand? Huh? No more coming. But Arahant still got outflow. Mahayana say. Outflow of what? Ah, thought. Birth and death of thought still there. That's why their mundane mind didn't collapse. Because they didn't go to this nature to do. They don't have the gateway. That's why birth and death of the segmented form and mind means no more fire aggregate of form and mind, rebirth, consciousness, means karmically conditioned living being, no more. But birth and death of their thought, thinking, they still have. But how come no rebirth? Because they no more ignorant. Understand? So during death, the last thought moment, there is no avijja. That's why no rebirth consciousness. But there is still outflow of the thought. That's why there is still fluctuation. Because the birth and death of thought is not rooted out. But bodhisattva that go through this one, mundane mind collapse before they die. No more outflow. Understand? Birth and death of thought, no more. So you understand the difference. Eh? This is actually very, very profound and deep. But very few people can understand. So for those who are on the way later on, you will come to understand all this. Because you can see it happening. Okay? Yes. Wait.
That means the Arahants cannot see their own true nature. They might not collapse yet.
No, you see, true nature you cannot see with the eye. Understand? You have to connect. Understand? When they realize Nibbana, means when they go through Nibbana, they will understand what that one is. But because you cease, you cannot come back where you don't have vow. To condition rebirth consciousness, not rebirth consciousness, to condition through karma, a form and mind, to come out. So bodhisattva are different because they take that vow. They have loving kindness, compassion and wisdom. So they take that vow because they know this one can help them to come back. They come back, they got karmic nature still there. So it can, through the vow, condition a form and mind. Okay? Can follow? Then you know what happened? Their love and compassion, because they have this love and compassion, the vow say to save the numerous living being. That pure love and compassion, which is a pure mind without ignorance, will take conception into the form and mind. That's why Hui Ning born without a mundane mind. Then that pure mind is not a rebirth consciousness with avijja, anasana. That's why the body that come, because of the beautiful karmic nature, is very beautiful and different. Like you say, Rolls Royce compared to Ojang, or Volkswagen. So this is how the difference is. The Arahant, when they realize Nibbana, they know what the thing is. It will also return to the source. Cease. No more. But no more story after that. Because you cannot come anymore. Like you go home, yeah, the door shut, cannot come out anymore. Pass the mic to Brother Chia, he got a question. Well, I have a drink.
Brother, actually it's a similar question. But then I have right now one last doubt that I need to clear. So as you said, okay, first of all, you said it's Mahayana's way, right? You mentioned of so-called defining.
Yes, Mahayana teaching mentioned.
What is the reality? Because Mahayana's, they have their own so-called whatever.
Okay, so what is your question?
I just want to know, then, what did the Buddha, so-called Buddha Sutta or Buddha say about this? Because the Mahayana has so many other things.
Oh, okay.
So what's the reality between, I would not say that it's among the sects, they have a certain so-called way.
I understand your question. Thank you so much, Sadhu. You see, when I say according to the Mahayana Sutta, but I went through it. That's why I understand what the outflow is. Before the Monday mind collapse, that Monday mind is still there. This nature already had the understanding. But when the gateway come, the Monday mind just collapse. You know how it collapse? Take time on. A lot of things happen up here at the brain here. Then finally, like a layer of consciousness, just drop off. Then after that, how come the mind like that one? I told my wife, for 5 days, I was so amazed. How come suddenly the mind become like that? The nature shine forth. And awareness is natural. There everything like nothing inside there. That's why I can tell you that supramundane mind is very fine. Like no mind inside there. Then I have to like newborn human being. I have to learn how to use this supramundane mind. And it's very different. Because this one cannot hold on to anything. Non-grasping. Split second also cannot. That's why just now I want to say something. I walk there. I cannot recall it. I need to ask you. What was it that I want to know? Because the aggregate, you cannot hold on anymore. Because this supramundane mind is very different from the mundane mind. Understand? And it's not not Mahayana say, can be. Okay? So I'm not interested in Sutta. If I don't know, I tell you I don't know. Really. If I dare to tell you, means I have gone through. My nature has gone through. It has developed the understanding.
Sorry, brother.
Never mind.
The last few nights, I also told Song, I said I don't know myself anymore.
Very good.
When
you don't know yourself anymore, means you break free. Because there is no more self. When you still know who you are still Brother Chia, then that one is the conditioned mind. But you have to live life, always remember, the form and mind is still as real as it can be. And this one is subject to karma. That's why you must understand the both. In true emptiness, all these don't exist. Four Noble Truths, Dhamma, all don't exist. But when you are back into the conditioned world with this form and mind, but because the wisdom connected, this understanding through the direct seeing, this form and mind connected to the wisdom. That's why wisdom is not inherited one. Not when you born, you inherit one. No such thing. You have to connect. Like Hui Neng have to listen to the sutta, then connect. Then inherit.
Okay, then how come the Arahant don't know this way?
What is it?
How come the Arahant don't know this way?
That's why they are Arahant. But there are a lot of Arahant who has the affinity with the Buddha and those great beings, Bodhisattva or what.
Because they, 500 Arahants.
I already told you, how can only the top 10 disciples of the Buddha go the Bodhisattva way? A lot went Bodhisattva way, but not mentioned. Because Ananda only, Sotapan, when he was the 500 Arahant that started the first council, and he was given the authority to recite. And he only recite all the sutta that he understand. And the Buddha during that time, you remember what he teach? I teach you the handful of leaves, the Four Noble Truths. Four Noble Truths only mention about how to become Buddha. That's why the Buddha mentioned the 10 perfection, remember? and he gave the Jataka story how he started. Then he said the 10 perfection he cultivated for 3¾ aeons. But he didn't tell you how to cultivate. Understand? That's why the Mahayana, the Bodhisattva way was not taught. But the Mahayana teaching, you know how he came up. They say when he went up to the, to Sita heaven, where the mother take birth, or Tawatinsa heaven. Huh? Brother Tay? Tawatinsa heaven, to Sita. She came down to Tawatinsa to listen to the Dhamma. And you know, according to Long Su Pusa, you know who is Long Su Pusa? Dragon Tree, Bodhisattva. He got very good memory like Ananda. But he is a Bodhisattva. That's why that teaching, Mahayana say, Long Su Pusa brought it down from Tawatinsa rhyme. When the Buddha was preaching the, they say Abhinama up there, the teaching. That's why later, Buddhist council, I already told you that Hinduism assimilate all the good teaching of Buddhism, then kick Buddhism out of India. Then during the debate, they lost like anything. Then Mahayana came, they save face. Then they agreed to incorporate Mahayana into the third council or what, I forgot already. Then Abhidhamma was added. Understand now? Abhidhamma was not there when the first council, when they recite. So how did this teaching get accepted? Well, it can explain everything. And it can actually bring back Buddha Dharma, Buddhism, back into its proper, proper place. Means at the level he's supposed to be. So this is how actually the Mahayana got the teaching. And all the disciples, I told you my second last teacher, that lady, last time as a monk, close to that, they all walking the Bodhisattva way. And before Sakyamuni become Sammasambuddha, they were together walking the Bodhisattva way. Not like that walk, taking that Bodhisattva way for very, very long. And quite a number of the disciples, I was told, they have the name predicted by Sakyamuni. To be future Buddha. So a lot of things, if I tell you, you would believe it, like fairy tale. So there's a lot of things.
Okay, brother. Now the last doubt. We talk about 31 planes, right? From the heaven down to the hell. Right, human being in between.
Yeah.
So if you were to consider the consciousness, millions and millions and millions of consciousness out there.
Billions, trillion,
so many,
trillion.
Uncountable almost.
Yeah, yes.
Then we also said it comes from a source.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then we also said after the Arahant go in, the door shut, cannot come out.
Yeah, that form and mind cease, that one that has the karmic nature.
Then we are talking about our understanding, within so-called this dimension. When the door shuts.
It's not door shut.
When they mean
no more rebirth.
No more rebirth, right? Yeah. And then, because consciousness is, within our dimension, our understanding.
Yeah.
Consciousness is, and then they don't rebirth here anymore.
Yeah, no more.
Then,
never mind, ask.
Okay, this is for discussion because I don't know whether the Buddha talked about this, right? Because it's like you come from there is a source, right? Okay, far away we don't know. Now, for some reason.
That source is not a place, please.
Yeah, understand.
Like Nibbana is not a place.
It's beyond our comprehension at this point, right? But at least as we walk the path, right? We know that from the source, all this. Results in all this consciousness coming out, and then full of mystery.
Their source is the origin. That's why you say, this is the source from where all this come about. Means the origin.
Yes. So yeah. from okay, wherever whatever you call it,
okay,
there's a starting point.
Yeah.
And then all this consciousness now you can see.
Yeah,
flooding
yeah.
all over the place.
Yeah,
full
yeah.
of misery.
Yeah.
And then we say that okay, the Buddha found a way.
Yeah.
Right? And then go through all this so called cultivation and then finally you don't come back to this dimension.
No. The Buddha can still come back.
The Buddha can come back, but the Arahant, okay.
The Bodhisattva also can come back.
Bodhisattva because of the vow, right? Because of a vow that propels them to be able to come back. But the Arahant doesn't, right? So it ceases.
Yes.
Then?
Well, there is no more mind to come.
Then the thing is, you know, if the source can start and then result in all this so-called consciousness, right? There has to be something, right?
Because that is the unconditioned. That's why you cannot talk about, understand?
No, that is my last doubt. That's why I say it's for discussion. Right? Because I'm sure the Sambuddha also knows already, right? Because
he knows.
He can go there.
He didn't go anywhere. He didn't go anywhere. He went go there, go here, go there. He understand the nature's law, the karmic nature, the spiritual nature. Then the vow and the prediction condition that rebirth. Karmic form and mind, that functional body of the Buddha. He went got go source and come out again. No. The first thought of ignorance that propel until what you are now with all the beings. You know how all these beings come about? Not? Because ignorant delusion. You know how many deluded beings are? You remember you believe the sutta? I asked you one question. The human being, the Buddha say, to be born as a human being is very rare. And you know how rare, huh? That turtle egg with an opening, the shell. Huh? Big enough for the head to go in. This turtle, blind turtle, some more, no? Every 100 years surface once, no, from the four oceans. No? Where this shell is, the no. It must mesh, then only there is the chance of becoming a human being. So you believe the sutta or not? You believe? Then I ask you one question. You want to have baby? Go and marry. Baby come out already. Where got so rare a chance? Understand?
I think if you relative compare right to the number of consciousness out there, I don't
correct. Know that is the reason why the probability is so small. Understand? That probability is almost like very, very rare. Because every 100 years, no, survey one time, no, blind turtle, no, what is the probability of hitting? Even in a fish pond also, very difficult. Understand? But in the ocean, no, the reason is, I explained to you, if you use logic, you cannot understand. You say, cannot be. We want baby, human being, get married, how many dozen or so can have? Understand? Why you say to become a human being so difficult? The problem is the hell beings and all those animal rhyme and all those things, you know their number is so much more than the human being. And human being number is very limited. You think 6 billion is a lot. You know in the ocean, the type of fish also more than that, I tell you. Then you somehow got all the animals. Then hell, countless down there. That's why Earth-stop Bodhisattva have to stay there for so long to fulfill the vow. So because of these numbers, the probability of one of these coming out to take birth as a human being is so rare. So as rare as that 100-year blind turtle coming out. So you have to understand that this one, then the Buddha also say that people will ask the question, hey, everyone, Arahant, sees, then Nibbana full. Understand or not? Like Pudu jail, cannot take it anymore. The Buddha already explained in the sutta, Nibbana can never be filled, understand? Because you are not going there, understand? I saw one book, See You in Nibbana. Wow, that title, cow lot. Huh? What is it?
Nibbana restaurant.
Oh, Nibbana restaurant. Oh, where they put your urn, I see you in Nirvana. They put your urn. But your urn, cremated, no more conscious. How to see? That's why not see.
No, brother, so I you see, because the Buddha only, I don't know, maybe only explain within our dimension, right? And then, you know, I don't know, science also know that we are not just us. There are many other things that we don't know.
Yeah,
that's why I'm curious if the Buddha also said somewhere that I'm ignorant about.
You don't ask me the sutta, I don't know.
Okay. Okay, then
because to me, sutta is not important.
Okay.
But if you can understand the sutta, it is very useful.
Okay.
Understand? Because all these are not the handful of leaves. Understand?
Precisely the point.
So forget about this. I try to answer you because I want to clear your doubt. But if you continue ask like that, I am not going to answer
let
you.
Let me explain, brother. Let me explain my rationale. Because, just now you mentioned that when Arahant go in, right? Then teng no more.
Not teng,
okay,
no sound.
Way, I understand what you're saying.
The mind realizes itself and sees.
I understand,
finish.
I totally understand. So just to express it in a funny way.
Okay.
Right, so teng no more.
Okay.
So I'm wondering, right? If going then teng no more, then better come back and then, you know.
Yeah lah,
no
definitely
more.
Better ma, but you know how to come back or not?
Good point. So don't know, right? So then, because you say that there's a profound Prajna, is it?
Prajna Paramita.
That's what Bodhisattva way.
Yeah, profound Prajna.
Will you be expounding this way?
I have shared with some Kayanamita. I teach them how to do the vow and all those things. But now, not the time, later. Because the best way to answer people like you is the famous question that people ask Master Xuan Hua when I was the year 1986, recording his talk at the Old Klang Road, the Buddhist temple, the building. What was the building, Yun Chan, you know? That Old Klang Road one, the Mahayana temple. No, not Tan Sam. Malaysian Buddhist Association. So Xuan Hua was giving a Dhamma talk there. Then after that, somebody put in a written question. He asked Xuan Hua, no? Very, very blunt, no, is it? Is it? Why you say Arahana, is it? Arahana can go the Bodhisattva way, is it? Theravada say Arahant finish, no more. This must be a Theravada guy asking question. You know what the answer? Xuan Hua take out the mic. He said, first of all, before I answer you, are you an Arahant? You're not an Arahant, forget about it. If you are an Arahant, you come, I will tell you how. That is precisely the answer I want to give you, if you continue to ask like that. Understand? No? Because no point. When condition is not there, don't try to know too early. No point. Because it will make you have more, not doubt. Because the rational mind cannot understand. Then you torture yourself unnecessarily. Then it becomes finally, like they say, doubt. Because there is the lingering behind. Understand? Because you want to know. What is there to know? What is knowing? Knowledge. All knowing is knowledge. Why you want knowledge? You're supposed to develop wisdom to awaken. Understand? So focus on the handful of leaves. Things that are fit for attention. Pay attention. That as you move, you understand already. Later on when you transform, you want to go that way, you let me know. You are not happy with Arahantship. A lot of people already very contented, is it? But you sotapan cukup lo. Well, after that, guarantee, you know, seven light Arahant. No? See, a lot of people, different contentment. But if you use your rational like that, then you will say, you sure choose to come if you have a choice. Understand? That's why my second last teacher told me during that time, in the Buddha's time. Now you, because of your question, another story come out. This one, real one. But that time we were with her, we asked her all these questions. No? That's why I always tell you, before this form and mind, no more. Whatever you want to understand, you better ask. I can understand, I will share with you. So we asked her, though, during the Buddha time, how. Then Then how many go Bodhisattva way? He said there are many. Then he said there are a lot, he said, yeah, who are arahana. At first they don't believe this Bodhisattva way. Because the Buddha never mentioned, understand? Because they are Tiradamang, understand? And especially Niwang. Then some of them finally have this open mind to listen. No? Then when they listen, they understand that this way is so beautiful. No? But this Bodhisattva they went through share the experience with them. No? Like my master used to tell us, he said this way is very, very tough, very, very long. But he used the word hell lot of rewarding. Oh. You heard, huh? Hell lot of rewarding. Very difficult, but very rewarding. So, you know, when the Arahant knew that there is such a way, they tried very hard to pull out this supramundane Maya, the love and the compassion. But because they enter stillness, the Nibbana cessation, for too long, it becomes so still, they cannot pull out. They cannot pull out. And they shed tears. No? They are not sorrowful. They shed tears because they want to go this way. They can't. Because this thing, you have to prepare before. That's why don't wait till you are arahant, then only want to do. Provided you have your path. Then like the Buddha Sakyamuni. Yeah? Even in the, what they call, the Jataka story, they call it, Brother Tay, you must help me. The chronicle, the life history of the Buddha. Buddha Vamsa. How he actually, through all the Jataka story, how he determined to be a Bodhisattva and realize Sammasambuddhahood. When the mother drowned in the ocean, the ship. Remember? Yeah, survivor, Oh, very good. The Deva guided him to the shore, Then after that, he saw so many perish, Then he made that vow, to save the limitless living being, to walk this way. Then the chronicle also mentioned, when he get the prediction, Dipankara Buddha. That time he already arahant. And he just want to make sure he get a prediction so that this vow will complete and carry through. So he purposely, that time he got psychic everything also. He saw a pool of water there. Then Dipankara Buddha was walking around with the disciple. Then he went there, he can use his psychic, but he don't want. He lie down with his body and let the Buddha, they all walk over. Then when Dipankara saw him, he knew. Then he can read what this Bodhisattva Sakyamuni, the future Buddha, wanted. Then he rejoiced, he said. He said, I rejoice. Then he said, in the future, because he got this ability to understand the condition, you will become a Sammasambuddha, but it will be very, very long later. Don't know how many world cycle later. You will be born as a prince in what kingdom and all those things. Then your name will be Sakyamuni Buddha. All these are the conditions behind, That's why you cannot say, well, wait till Arahant only decide. Oh, shit. You go and wait till Arahant only decide. It's just like you say, university study what? Wait till you go into university only decide. Means what? You didn't prepare. You don't know you want to take science or art. Then you go and take arts. Then you don't like arts. You go university, you want to study science. How? The university cannot accept you. That's why when you understand, if I want to go this way, Bodhisattva way, I must take the appropriate training and course. Understand not? If you don't take that Bodhisattva understanding course, you go and take the ordinary exam where you only pass and become sainthood and arahant, then how to qualify to go into the Bodhisattva way? That's why you need to have experienced teacher and guide who can guide you on how to take this vow and how to develop the understanding of it. Because when you understand this way, it's very, very easy, even though it takes so long. That one later, no doubt. Okay? We better end. 9:10 already. Okay. You want to do any chanting or not? Anybody want to do the Heart Sutta? Come. Okay, do. Do the Heart Sutta. What Sutta you all want? Tapi Chau and Heart Sutta. Up to you all. What you all want to chant? Come. We do it, then we can end. Or maybe I share merit first or what? Or later, after this only share merits. Okay, come.